Hey everyone, I hope you are doing well. Want to give a big shout out to our new sponsor, View Arcade. They have an amazing app launching on the iOS and Android stores called View Me. If you want to grow your YouTube, TikTok, SoundCloud, Twitch, and more, make sure to check out View Me when it drops on the App Store very soon.
Are you ready to find out how to blaze your own trail? Welcome to the Blaze Your Own Trail podcast with your host, Jordan Mendoza. In this podcast, Jordan interviews people from around the world to find out about their journey to success. If you are looking for valuable content with actionable advice, you've come to the right place. And now your host, Jordan Mendoza.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blaze Your Own Trail podcast. My name is Jordan Mendoza. I'm your host, and I've got two very special guests today. We've got Crystal Hansen and Mark Victor Hansen, and most folks listening to this particular episode when it airs will already know who they are because I like to market my guests and add value to them as they're sewing into me and coming on the show. So if you can, guys, why don't you just tell the audience who you are and what you do today?
Well, I'm Mark Victor Hansen, and most people know me because I've sold a half billion books called Chicken Soup for the Soul, written 312 books, 59 times number one New York Times. And we also own businesses, like we own Natural Power Concepts, which we have pop-up windmills called Wind Charger that are going to be urban wind to give energy to everybody. But basically, we're in the book promotion, writing business, and we're absolutely in adoration. And I've been doing it for 44 years. Love every minute of it. And we've got bigger things coming out than we've ever done. And I think the book we're going to talk about today, Ask the Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny, is going to be bigger than chicken soup. And because we think everybody has this hidden talent. You're born, God gives you two things when you're born. One is imagination, and the other is the infinite ability to ask, to be who you want to be, do what you want to do, and have what you want to have.
Wow. And I tell you, that resonates with my last 2 years. So much, right? And it's an amazing thing when we start to take action, right? That momentum that gets created, which then turns into that consistency that we need to get those results. You know, it's so fascinating what happens when we do it, and just the motion that gets set into place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'd love to hear a little. So you guys write this book together, this particular book?
Yes. This is our co-author book. I'm a transformational life coach, board certified hypnotherapist, author, speaker, entrepreneur, partner to this guy on everything. So we have a lot of fun. You know, basically, we're involved in all of our businesses together. But this was the first co-authored book we did. And honestly, didn't know what to expect, but it went so well, which really didn't surprise us. But it was just really, we had fun doing it. We just sort of took the baton back and forth, you know, worked on our strengths, pulled it together. You know, I'm kind of the more master editor of taking it all and making it into one thing. But it was a lot of fun. And when we finished it, we knew that there was something really special here, something that people really needed, especially right now in these times.
Absolutely. And I have an ask for you guys. You ready? So I'm going to ask you now, we're going to rewind. This is my favorite part of the show, is we get to rewind to really find out how the journey began. And so we'll go ladies first. Is that fair enough? So I would love
to get
context on Crystal. So where did you grow up? Where were you born and raised? And thinking back to those years, the adolescent, maybe elementary to high school years, what kind of kid were you? Were you into sports or academics? I would love to just get that context, because I truly don't. I don't know, and I would love to find out. So.
Yeah, no, I love that, Jordan. So I am from Idaho, Idaho Falls, Idaho. I come from a family of 9 children, same 2 parents. Yeah, and I grew up being very active. You know, we lived on several acres, even though my dad is he was an attorney. He's passed now, but very successful. My mom was very unusual for her time. She was way ahead of the game in health and wellness. So she grew these enormous organic gardens, and we all had to work in the garden. And you know, so before I could run out on my bike and go hang out with my friends, I had a lot of things to do, like chores. in a family that size, you all have responsibility. But I think it was such a wonderful socialization for all of us. We're still all very close to this day, and we love each other. And you know, there's this really special kind of social order that develops on its own. You learn to develop alliances and strategies, and so I'm very thankful for my upbringing.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, my mom had five boys, so you know, we didn't have as large of a family, but with that many boys, we were wrestling and fighting, you know, a lot of broken bones and, you know, that type of stuff, those types of things happening. So that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that context. And were you involved in any sports or anything like that?
I was a skier. I was a pretty good skier because we lived in, you know, near the mountains, so we skied. I would get on a bus with my friends and go like every weekend. I was also a dancer. Instead of going into sports, even though I like sports, I did running for a while, but I really fell into dance and drill team and marching team. I loved all of that, anything dance related, and I competed in dance. So that was really my love, my athletic adventure.
So I didn't probably do the same type of dancing that you did, but I was a break dancer for 10 years. So the stuff that I did was more freestyle and battles and popping and things like that. So I would love this. This will give the audience a lot of value and maybe different than you're normally used to sharing, but I would love for you to share maybe one or two tips for the audience that of how dance has translated into how you operate your business.
You know, that is such a good question, and I've never been asked that before, Jordan, but it immediately comes to mind. When you're a dancer, and it's all about you. Your performance is all about you becoming better. I mean, you're really just competing with yourself. And so to the degree that you can focus and be disciplined and really do everything it takes and visualize yourself as the type of dancer you want to be. I did both ballet and tap, a little bit of adagio with just like, you know, guy girl dancing. But the ballet and tap I love the most, especially ballet, because it was such a discipline of your body. And some jazz too, but I think that's really good for business. I mean, the consistency, sometimes it's boring. You're there and you're doing the same workouts and the same routines, but every time you do it, you get better and this level of excellence keeps growing. And that's really with business, that's what you have to do. I mean, while it looks like things happen easily for people who are successful, that's not the reality. It's that constant, you know, sticking to it when you're bored, when it seems like it's the routine or there's monotony, but it's you're ever reaching that, you know, growing excellence. And that's what it's all about. It's becoming the best you.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I can relate a lot of that from the breakdancing aspect because you're thinking on your feet a lot, right? Like business, you're constantly having to think on your feet and also sometimes you get faced with adversity, right? Maybe you sprain your ankle right before you're supposed to be performing, but you've got to do it, right? And so that's perseverance, right? All of those things are so amazing. And I really appreciate you sharing that context because that's going to be highly valuable for people to hear. So you mind if we shift over to Mark?
Of course, yes.
Okay. All right.
No.
You're up to bat now, brother. You're up to bat. So, all right, let's take it back. So we're going, you know, elementary to high school years. What kind of kid was Mark? And, you know, where did you grow up?
Okay, so first of all, thank you for the question for both of us. It's sort of amazing. My parents were Danish immigrants, so we didn't have books in the house because Dad came here from Denmark at 14, leaving a socialist country called Denmark because my uncle agreed in a black man to take all the Jews into Denmark, and Hitler had a hit on our whole family. But I'm one of four boys, so we had the same kind of testosterone running. Let's beat up each other and see who can hurt each other the most and how strong we are to come back resilient. My dad taught us work ethic, and I really caught it. At 9 years old, I didn't like hand-me-down clothes because I'm in the middle, right? My older brother. And I thought, this sucks. So I said, well, he said, you can have anything you can earn. Basically, pride of ownership follows pride of ownership. So I'm 9 years old. And I'm a Boy Scout, and I read in the back of Boy Scout magazine, you can sell greeting cards on consignment, which means they give them to you. I'd come out to your wife and I'd say, Ms. Mendoza, would you like to have one? I'm earning my own bicycle. Would you like to invest in one box Christmas cards or two? I wouldn't go to good looking smart guys like you that shave. I wanted the wives. And I was in the snow of Waukegan, Illinois. So I'd go like this and they'd come in, let's blow your nose, little kid. And almost 100% of them bought. I sold the most ever for that greeting card company, 376 boxes, earned $1 a box, almost enough to buy the bicycle. And my dad then took half that money, put it in my college fund, and said, you're going to earn your own way to college. And I go, first of all, I didn't know what college was because he didn't go, and I didn't see any benefit. At 9 years old, you don't quite get what college is, and my brothers hadn't gone. Nobody in our family had. So it was, and I'm one of those first college. But one other thing, and that is because we had language difficulty, which you may or may not have had in your family, I was put in remedial reading. Can you imagine? I was a terrible reader from first grade to sixth grade because books weren't part of the family, and now I'm the world's best-selling author. Is that pretty cool?
how ironic, right? How amazing. Yeah. That. Jeez. Listen, when you were talking about, you really lit up when you talked about, going out and selling, right? That face-to-face communication, because that's what it was. That was cold calling. You were literally going to people and you were figuring out what you could use to get them to buy. Because when I was 14, my first job was going door to door and selling, signing people up for the newspaper. Right. And so I said, hey, I can win a free trip to Disney if you sign up for the paper. And, when people are looking at a young kid, right, they feel for that. They have that empathy. And so you get some empathy sales. Right.
Did you win the trip to Disney?
No, I never won. I was actually almost quit the first day because I had 100 people tell me no. And at 14, that's not fun. I remember being on the curb and, going back to the distributor, and the guy's name was Jim Frank. I never forget this. He said, you may not understand this today, Jordan, but hopefully one day you will. He said, the sale doesn't start until the customer says no.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, I didn't get it till a few years later, but I had a rep that I was training come back with the same look on his face, and I looked him in the eyes and I said, the sale doesn't start until the customer says no. And that's when it clicked, right? We're so used to saying no. We walk into a store, hey, can I help you? No. Hey, no, don't touch the stove. No, you don't talk to strangers. Say no to drugs. So our whole life we're conditioned. So naturally, in my opinion, that's our response, right?
So right. That's why what I teach now in my sales training is that when somebody says no to you, just says next, N-E-X-T, because somebody out there needs what you've got and will resonate with you and buy. And it back to your 100 rejections, every one of us has got to go through a certain amount of rejections. When Jack and I sold Chicken Soup, we had 144 publishers. They all actually said, the joke is, hit the road, Jack. And I said, but I'm a nice guy. Jack's great. Talked to him yesterday, so he's great. But the point is, every one of us got to learn to overcome rejection. And the worst rejection, because your show is what it is, a trailblazer, is overcoming self-rejection, which is what we teach in our book, Ask the Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny, because we all have to overcome it. Every one of us gets rejected one way or another, for a date, for business, for a promotion, whatever it is, sickness, we got to overcome that rejection.
100%. Yeah. And when you can overcome that, it folks that are listening, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy the rest of the way, right? It just means that you've started to train yourself. You've put in those reps, just like it's the new year. So people have these resolutions, right? But when they stop putting in the reps, the results stop coming, right? It's just like within sales. If you don't put in the reps, if you don't actually practice and become a practitioner, you can't expect your results to increase.
That's right. Just that quick example that fits this morning, because we're into a new year and you got to ask yourself, well, what did I accomplish last year? What do I want to accomplish this year? In all dimensions of your life, whether it's relationship, your spiritual growth, your physical growth. And this morning, because I'm really at 73 years young, I never call myself old. I'm 73 in a couple of days. So the point is, you decide what you're going to do. And I can tell you that I'm lifting harder weights than ever, because I've decided this year I'm strong always. But now I'm going to be resiliently strong, and you can't tell, but I am hard as a rock. It just, my name is not Rock. He does great, but I don't want his body though.
That's awesome. Well, hey, that was really good context and good insight into your guys' you know, journey and kind of upbringing. And so when did you guys meet? That's something I would love to know. When did the two of you meet, and who knew it was, you know, it was the one first?
Such a good question. So I had a coaching practice in Scottsdale. I had just been recently divorced and was writing a book, my first book, about, because I was having this amazing success with my clients. I mean, people who had been depressed their entire lives would come, and in five sessions, they're like, I can't believe this. I can honestly say I'm completely free of my crushing depression I've had my whole life, and anxiety and all these things. It was just, I felt like I really needed to share that. So I started writing my first book. And my mother, who's a big fan, called me one day and she's like, I just got an email to this Author 101 event. You need to go. There'll be publishers and publicists and Mark Victor Hansen will be there. And I was like, oh, whoa, Mom. Okay, when is it? And she goes, it's the day after tomorrow. And I go, oh, that's not going to work. I'm sure they're sold out. So I'm trying to talk her out of it. And she goes, just call, just call. I go, oh, who's going to watch the kids? I'll watch the kids. Just call. So I'm like, okay, I'll do this for Mom. Call, and the promoter of the conference called me back personally, like in less than 5 minutes. And I go, this is kind of strange. It wasn't his assistant. It was him. And he said, no, Crystal, we'd love to have you. We're not sold out. Please come. So I'm like, I guess I'm going to this thing. Day and a half later, I'm in LA. Mark's the keynote speaker. Go to the VIP event after. And I'm just standing there talking to a speaking coach. And Mark's across the room, like surrounded by an entourage of people going, oh, Mark, you know, asking him questions. And all of a sudden, I was not drinking. I had made a conscious decision, like, I'm not drinking. I'm doing all business. I'm here to do business. This woman whacks a whole glass of wine on my white pants, red wine on my white pants. It's like it just jumped on one leg of my pants. She was talking with her hands. Mark must have been looking my way from across the room because he parts the crowds. He comes rushing over. He grabs my hand. He goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I think I know where the club soda is. Here, let me help you find it. And he kind of pulls me out of the room. I'm like, okay, what just happened there? And then he started talking to me. We found the club soda. He started asking me questions. He's like, it sounds so interesting what you're doing. I just have this feeling that there's something about you that you could really change the world, especially for women, just be such a mentor, but I'm starving. Have you had dinner? I said, actually, I haven't. He goes, well, can we go to dinner? Let's go somewhere off the property because, you know, everyone will be surrounding me all night if we don't. And so I ran up to change my clothes. I said, I got to change out of these pants. And called my mom, race up there. I go, Mom, I have to be quick. But how? I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, Mark Victor Hansen and I are going to dinner. And she goes, I knew it. I was like, what? How did you know it? So crazy. We went to dinner and it was just amazing. We just like connected, like we'd known each other forever. It was like the most amazing energy I think either of us had ever felt, really.
May I add, Jordan?
Yeah, I'd love to. And actually, I have a question after that. So
we'll let you go back. But we go to the best restaurant that I know of in Hollywood, and the line is long. It's 9:30 on a Saturday night. $100 bills is not going to get you in. So remember, I'm Mr. Ask. Even before we wrote the book, I've taught asking, lived asking, been asking since I was 9 years old and never stopped and can't stop and won't probably ever. So we go up to the guy, and the guy sees how beautiful my wife is. I mean, plucre trudeness just emanates out of every pore of her being. You know, she's been a top model and all that. The guy's mind is going fast and says, okay. His first question to us was, okay, I give up. Who is she? I'm a question guy, so I answer a question with a question, right, in sales. You don't recognize her? Now the guy's mind is on steroids, right, going through People so magazine silly. In style mode. And he goes, okay, I give up. Who is she? Now I'm joking, but we're both of Danish descent. I said, she's the queen of Denmark. He says, no, she's not. Oh my God, she is. Who are you? Back to questions. I'm Mr. Ask. I say, who travels with the queen? He says, oh my God, you're the king. Hold on 1 second. And F asked me at a table before
we got together. Before we can like tell him it was a joke.
Isn't that a wonderful story?
I love that. I love that story because my wife fusses at me for that stuff all the time. You know, like we'll be somewhere and I'll be like, hey, do you guys have an employee discount? And they're like, are you employed? I'm like, yes, somewhere. Not here, but somewhere.
I love it.
I only get the discount, you know, so I like doing stuff, right? Because it's an ask. I said, yeah. And I tell them, I'm like, well, you never get what you don't ask for. So when you said that, I mean, that resonated with me so much. So, but that is awesome. And what a story, right? You know, that story, I feel like needs to be told more, and I'm going to make sure to clip it when we promote this, because that's a story that a lot of people may not know. And that's what a cool story. So,
One other hitchhike. May I add one other hitchhike? I know you've got a question for my beloved wife, but after I'd gone through a really painful divorce and divorced a really long time, I decided to ask myself, what do I want? And I literally wrote down 267 things I needed in my ideal wife: values, virtues, characteristics, qualities, stuff like we had the same values. Because what do most people do when they're looking for a spouse? They say, oh, I want to be a hot babe. Or the guy says, or she says, I want him to be tall, dark, and handsome, like you are, Jordan. The point is, no offense to either one of those, but that's too superficial. If you really, we're married forever, right? I wanted a soulmate, but what we really got was a twin flame. We can finish each other's conversation because we're that in sync.
I love that. Yeah, no, and that definitely makes a whole lot of sense, because I mean, you're essentially weeding out some of the potential problems beforehand, right? Like, that's what you're doing when you made your list. And so it was a match made by mom, right? Really, right? And I'm sure you thanked her for that. Did you thank her? Like, what was it? Because that was very interesting how it happened. And of course, she's like, it was because of me. And, you know, and you guys, it was because you were supposed to meet right at that point. So I'd be curious, what did she say after that?
Oh yeah, no, she loves it. And you know, she knows that it was her at her urging that I went. And you know, sometimes, I mean, Mark sends her flowers on our anniversary too.
So, I would be too.
Right? It's so amazing. But
I love her. She's wonderful.
Oh, she's so wonderful. But you know, and we teach this in our book, Ask the Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. Part of the asking journey, we say you need to ask yourself, ask others, and ask God. And each of those is equally important. And we talk about, you know, living in that question, which means living in wonder. Okay, because we get so jaded in our lives sometimes. We stop asking, we stop wondering, we stop inquiring, we stop being curious. And all of those things, all of those ways are a mechanism to help us grow, to help us reach our next greatest potential, to help us find the next answer, the next great breakthrough. When we shut off from all that, we shut ourselves down. We shut ourselves off from our destiny. So being able to be in that, you know, wonder and go, well, I didn't really want to go, but okay, I think there's just a reason I need to go. Mom wants, you know, this is kind of happening. And I'm going to go find out, what is this about? You know, maybe I'm supposed to be there. And asking yourself those questions and then allowing yourself to live in that question, that inquiry, that wonder, so that you can discover where you're supposed to go next.
I love that. Yeah. And a lot of that, you know, of course, sounds like intuition, right? You know, I'm certified in Myers-Briggs. So, you know, my type is ENFP. And so I'm very intuitive and I trust my instincts, right? And so like when I told you off air, I woke up, you know, Monday and I was going to give my 2-week notice to leave. I had a smile on my face. I kind of sprung out of bed. I don't even remember the alarm going off, right? Because I had a lot of clarity and that intuition told me that I was making that right decision.
Yeah. And I think when you learn to trust that intuition a little bit more, I'm sure you felt this way, Jordan. When I've you know, been able to trust that and move with it and stay in that place of wonder about what it's going to reveal to me, you almost feel a buzz. You feel that knowing and sort of that understanding that something's going on in your life, in the universe, because you're connecting to the wonder and the potential of your own life in this universe and this wondrous life that God has set out for you. You're connecting with that. And so you start to feel the buzz. And it's a wonderful feeling, just like you felt. And like I felt, I knew something was happening. I literally, when I checked into that hotel, I was like, something's going on here. I don't know what it is. It's just I had this buzz. I'm like,
Calm down, Mark.
Calm down.
That's awesome. So what I would love, because this is going to add a ton of value to the audience listening. You guys are highly successful with books and everything you've done. And, you know, this book is all about, you know, teaching people how to ask. And so what are the top 3 questions a new or an aspiring author needs to ask themselves before putting pen to paper?
Well, okay, so you're asking a question that is another book I wrote that we've got at my website called You Have a Book in You, because I believe everybody's got a book in them. And what happens is you start to hear whatever the number one story is. Well, first of all, you got to give your permission to say to yourself before it can come true, I'm an author. Second of all, you got to decide to write the title. And I teach on, if they go to my website, markvictorhanson.com, I teach you exactly how to do what we call a killer title. Chicken Soup for the Soul is a killer title. There's no question about it. Ask, which is, there you go. That's right. And you've got a couple titles. And by the way, the other thing I say about titles is, when Jack and I started, we wrote down 134 titles and they still weren't it. So, but You Have a Book in You is really clear. Ask is a really clear title. My titles, according to Guinness Book of Records, I'm the best title writer because I've got more bestseller titles than anybody else alive. So I'm only saying Guinness Book of Records. So, and then the third thing is you can start your book effortlessly if you do interviews. And you say, well, why would you do that? Well, the best-selling business book of all time, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill interviewed the 500 most important people. When I was bankrupt and upside down, you know, and I decided to talk, I interviewed people. But then when I got going in chiropractic, the marketplace, they stopped paying insurance. So I interviewed the 21 best chiropractors that made $1 million a year doing cash practices, did them in a set of audio tapes, did transcription. I made $3 million selling said tapes in a little booklet. Everyone can do an interview in their zone, in their industry. Like before we interviewed, I didn't know anything about your industry. And now I hear how it's working. It's great. And you've got an industry. And so the next point four, you asked for three and I'll quit with this, is grow rich in a niche. Pick a niche that you can dominate. Like we dominate oversized trade books. We dominate, you know, the markets I decide to go into, we take over them.
I love it. Love it. And that's super, super valuable advice. And even for me to hear, because yeah, that's the one thing I've been thinking about, you know, as you know, I have the show and I've got these things and I'm like, well, the thing missing is now, how about I teach people how I did it, right? How I went through it, you know, all the journey, the process. And so, yeah, that's actually one of the next things on my list. So it's kind of a selfish question for me, but I know that everybody else listening is going to get value too, because you just said it, brother. Everybody has a book in them, right? And I really believe we all have a story to share. We all have a journey that we've been through. And so that's really amazing. And so what are some of the other goals for you guys? I know Ask right now, this is, you know, out there and people are learning from it. And so what are some of the next things that you guys have on your minds that you want to come to fruition?
Yeah. So from the book, we're just getting such amazing feedback. I mean, every day it's really our gold, because people are writing letters saying, you know, I was at this place where I was feeling completely hopeless. This has been challenging for people, this whole COVID thing, for a lot of people. For some of us, it's working out fine and we're finding our way through because we have the tools that we need. But for a lot of people, it's really brought people to a level of hopelessness and challenge and difficulty. So when we get these letters back that people are saying, I was out of hope and out of luck, and you know, reading your book has changed everything for me. I now know I have the tools to do what I need to do. Thank you so much. So we've decided to turn the book into a course. We're putting together this incredible course. We want to help people on the journey all the way. And so we'll be, you know, coming out on, you know, our social media, Crystal Dwyer Hansen, Mark Victor Hansen, of course. We'll be letting everybody know when those are available, because we want to be part of your support system. You know, it's important to have that, be one another's support system. And we're excited about that. Our other investments, you know, we do a lot of things. We're invested in clean energy, and it's really exploding right now in a really good way. We have a special windmill and we're getting all these orders. I mean, this was a 10-year overnight success, right? And it's still, we're not quite there, but it's like huge things are happening. We've got huge movement. We've got contracts. We've got the manufacturing happening. So the lesson there is, you know, keep moving, keep pushing forward. We knew we had a great product. We just needed all of these different things to line up, and now they have.
I love it. Yeah, and I love it. And when you think about life, I mean, it's just like that, right? There's seasons and there's, you know, peaks and there's valleys, and you know, it's all about kind of, you know, trying to navigate through with the fewest bumps and bruises you can get along the way, right? And I would love for you guys to to share your thoughts on this. Thinking about for you, Crystal, you know, you're the joy of dancing, because you know that you that really lit up for you. Is that something that you've thought of, that maybe, you know, giving back to that space, you know, the passion that you had back then?
You know, I've never really thought about being a dance instructor, honestly. I mean, I think it's fun. I mean, I do different types of dance at my, we belong to this incredible fitness facility. It's like a spa, you know, fitness, it's called The Village. But they have just an array of amazing classes, and I love to take those classes. So I love to participate. I just think that right now, my calling is to really help people, like, heal hearts, heal souls, get people on track with their greatest life. That's where I find my greatest joy. I look at everybody as, you know, this beautiful, shining human being. And, you know, when I encounter them in a session or something, I really see that person. And I just feel like I can find, you know, help them get rid of the baggage and the garbage they've been carrying, and, you know, shine them up and dust them off, and they can go out and just be so amazing. And I love doing that. It's something that I feel so deeply inside of me. And when I work with people one-on-one, I literally start to feel them. It's sort of that intuitive thing. And I can feel exactly that pathway, you know, down which we need to go to make sure that, that you're not bringing your baggage forward. Because I can tell you, if you're suffering right now, if things aren't working out for you, if you're feeling badly about anything or just not successful, it's not because you need to really add something to yourself. It's probably because you need to get rid of a lot of the baggage, the old thought programs you're carrying, the emotional baggage that you're carrying. And once you can identify those things and sort of neutralize that, what I call the zero point, you can really create from this new clean slate point anything you want in your life. And I love that. I love being able to help people with that.
No, and I 1,000% agree. You know, when we can take that, you know, introspective look at ourselves, right, really find out how we're wired and all those things, I mean, that's a really big unlock, because the lens that you used to look through now looks a lot different, right? It opens up this amazing new world. And you know, as I've been down that journey, and I'm still learning every single day, you know, but yeah, it looks different when you can start to see that, you know, veil come off, you know. So, Mark, for you, any other things that you have mentioned? I know the solar stuff, you're good, and you want to keep focusing on transforming people's lives, Crystal, which, I mean, how amazing is that? Like, that's a beautiful thing. What about you, Mark? Any other hobbies or things that you're kind of thinking of?
I would say our whole life is devoted to asking now, because if we could really get a billion people asking, we can wake up the whole world. We can come out of this cocoon, because everyone's been, you know, chrysalis is where the cocoon is, right? Before the butterfly, everyone's been crawling around. We're in this chrysalis. I think we're at the top of the chrysalis. It's ready to break out. We're going to go into high flying butterfly. And what we want people to do is we want to help people ask so they can be who they're supposed to be, do what they're supposed to do, have what they're supposed to have, earn what they deserve to earn, save it, invest it, multiply it, accelerate it. And it's all done with one little word, ASK to GET, all that you want. And no one has been taught that. Forgive me for saying so, but everyone knows the spiritual line, ask and you'll receive, but nobody ever unwrapped that. No one ever said, hey, wait a second, let's go deep and profoundly in this. And so what we did is we asked ourselves, holy cow, we came out of every adversity and found advantage by asking. That was number one. Number two, we did the full research at Harvard and Stanford and Cambridge and all that. And that, it all resonated that if you ask, you win, whether it's relationship or getting a date or getting a fortune or building a business or acquiring companies. And then, you know, number three is that you ask God, and God is eternally here to answer every ask, but most people don't know how to do it. So what we're teaching is, when you're asking God, before you go to bed tonight, you know, the subtitle of this great book is Ask, the Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. If you don't know your destiny, you've got one if you're alive. And so what we're saying is 400 times before you go to sleep, before you push back sleep and just say, God, what's your destiny for me? God, what's your destiny for me? God, what's your destiny for me? It will pop out, but you've got to be there with a pen and paper to write it down and say to your sweetiekins, I've never heard Mark and Crystal before. And Jordan, you know, he's people really make sense. So I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to wake you up in the middle of the night, have to turn on a light and write in detail whatever comes through. And you'll be astounded and amazed because you'll have answers that you can't get in normal consciousness. You will go into an altered, accelerated super consciousness and have answers and illuminations and revelations and insights and understandings that don't happen during the day by asking.
I love that. I love that. And yeah, asking is so powerful. And also I think one thing that's discounted is sometimes when other people maybe have a vision for you, right? That they've had a word for you and given to you and you don't activate that, right? I think that also can be a detriment, you know, because I remember in 2011, there was a pastor, he gave me a prophetic word. He said, I don't know what this is going to look like one day, but one day you're going to lead people around the globe. You're going to make impact on people around the globe. And I didn't know or understand what that was. And now today, you fast forward, 10 years later, I was in a role for 15 years and taught a leadership program. And now I've got a show that's reaching people in 50 countries. And it all came to fruition. But if I wouldn't ask myself, what's my mission? What's my passion? What's my vision? Right? That never would have happened. So I completely and utterly agree, and that resonated with me so much.
Right, because until you start asking yourself those questions, the right questions, you just continue to stay in the track you're on, and you think, this is what I do, and I need to keep doing it and doing it well. So to get somewhere new, to progress, to reach your destiny, you have to get into asking the correct questions in the correct way. And that's what we're so excited about, is really taking everyone on that journey.
I love that. Well, this has been phenomenal. I really appreciate you guys giving context into your journey, because I think the origin story is the most important, right? That's where we all start. That's the foundation of who we are. And we can see ourselves in business and in our relationships through what our family taught us and those experiences that we had. And so we're going to do something different. I've never done this on the show, but what I'm going to do, you know, because I could ask you where people can find you guys, but I'm going to make the ask that they go to the show notes and they click on the links that'll be there for the book, for the website. So folks, after you've listened to this, I'm asking you to go to the show notes and click on the link, because, I mean, this book sounds amazing. I know I'm going to grab a copy of this thing. It's going to help me, but there's also the other book about, you know, writing a book, so I'm going to be grabbing that one as well. So I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for coming on the Blaze Your Own Trail podcast.
Thank you, Jordan. Love being with you. You're just such a star.
We want everyone to blaze like you have and we have. Thank you.
Thank you so much.